Tonight, we want to look back at answered prayer, and we want to begin tonight in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 3. Jeremiah 33 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." What a blessing that tremendous verse is. I think often about when we call, he answers. Amen. My job to pray, his job to answer. Amen. My job to ask, his job to act. Amen. It says he will show us great and mighty things. For my entire life, leading up to just a few years ago, when I thought about great and mighty things, I thought about mountaintop experiences, scores of souls saved, healings, great virtuous things that he's done that were precious to my soul. And then I entered into dark valleys, lowest places of my entire life. Younger brother passed away. Seems like from that point on, I really learned how to be a pastor. And it helped my preaching. It helped my walk with the Lord. What a price to learn and get deeper. But I've learned that those great and mighty things are often found in the valley. And you really understand the value of your shepherd when you're in a valley deep. And I've gone through things as a pastor in the 20 plus years that we've been here. And there's been scores of times from the valley he's led me and taught me and helped me. And it's not always been on the mountaintop when I learned the most. I learned the most when I was in the valley. And there can be no doubt about that. When we think about God's answer, we've been studying about God's definite yes to Jabez. He was decisively able to Paul. We've seen a glimpse of God's glory for Moses. He sent the fire to Elijah. He stood still for Bartimaeus. Lord, save me. And he did for Simon Peter. Lord, open his eyes for Elisha. God's answer, yes. Praise God for it. Tonight, you're not going to like what I'm going to preach, probably. But we want to preach about when God answers with a delay. God's answer to you could be a delay. It's not a denial. It's not a no. God's delay are not a denial. Sometimes we think God has a hearing problem. But it turns out we're probably the ones with the hearing problem because we didn't want to accept God's answer of wait, God's answer of delay in our life. It seems like when we pray, if we don't get the answer we want, then we feel like that there's been no answer sent whatsoever. Isn't that the truth? There are three retirees. They were both getting hard, or all three of them getting hard of hearing. And one of them looked to the other and said, "Windy, ain't it?" He said, "No, it's Thursday." And the other one said, "No, I'll have a Coke." What a conversation. We're hard of hearing. When I think about God's delay, I think about waiting. I think about the waiting room. In the waiting room sat three expectant fathers. Other people were there with them. Nurse burst through and said, "Sir, congratulations, your wife has just birthed twins." He said, "That's amazing. I work for Double Mint." Soon the next nurse came in and said, "Sir, your wife has just had triplets." He said, "That's amazing. I work for the 3M Corporation." The third guy jumped up and started running out the door. They said, wait, where are you going? Don't you want to see?" He said, "I work for 7-Eleven and I'm afraid I better get out of here." Oftentimes we don't like to wait. And waiting is not an easy thing to do. We don't like delays. We want it now, and we want it without any hesitation. Three things tonight and I'll be done. Number one, there is a divine aim for waiting. A divine aim for waiting. Write this down. God allows his people oftentimes to wait because it develops faith and it demonstrates trust. Trust that you just sang about. We learn to trust when we wait. We grow in faith when we wait. That's why God doesn't give us everything when we want it. Because if it happens like that, we won't have faith and we won't learn to trust. Now let's just talk about five, or maybe more, but at least five biblical examples of people who had waiting faith. I think about Noah, that great ark builder. He was waiting for a sign to leave. He had been on board the boat 370 days. He's waiting for a sign to leave and a sign to exit the ark. And you remember how that he sent out the birds and the raven didn't come back, but the dove did. And he sent the dove again. You remember that story. And he finally got the sign he was looking for to leave the ark. Well, honey, I'm looking for a sign to leave as well. One day the trumpet's going to sound, and when that sign has been given, whoo, we're going out of here. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. So I'm just waiting. There's been times in the Bible where people were exhibiting waiting faith, waiting for a seed from the Lord. I'm thinking about Sarah. She was barren. She was waiting for the Lord to open her womb, and Isaac was born. I think about Rebecca. She was a barren womb. She waited for the Lord to open her womb, and God gave her twins, Esau and Jacob. I think about Rachel. She had a barren womb. She waited for God to open it, and Joseph was born. I think about Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel. She had a barren womb. She wept her way to God. She had to wait for God to open her womb, and little Samuel was born. Let me tell you, there are churches in America tonight that are barren. They're desiring a seed from the Lord that souls would be saved. Amen. Bethel, you don't realize how blessed that you really are, that just in the last month, and I was trying to think, that some 30 souls has been saved right here in the church, in the house of God. And you sit here and think nothing's going on, but since Mother's Day, over 60 some people where I've been preaching here, there, yonder have been saved. Honey, I'm telling you, we're just waiting for seed from the Lord. I think about someone who was waiting for a spouse to love. Abraham sent his servant out to go find a bride for his son. And the servant went out and he began to pray. And as he was praying and as he was waiting, before he could ever say amen, God gave him a sign, and it was a bride for Isaac. Amen. I'm just saying, there may be somebody not, you're waiting for Mr. Perfect, or you're waiting for Mrs. Right. No, honey. Listen, you are going to wait for what God wants you to have, and God will have the right person lined up for you. Amen. I think about, fourthly, how about somebody waiting for satisfaction from the Lord? Joshua and Caleb said, we're going to serve God. The rest of that crowd wouldn't do it. And for 40 years, honey, they had to wait out that crowd in the middle of the wilderness. Amen. And then after they got in the promised land, you can hear Caleb, who he says, Lord, give me this mountain. And God, as he'd been waiting faithfully, patiently for 40 years, God gave him the mountain and the city of Hebron. And Hebron means victory in the Lord and triumph and fellowship in God. God gave him that. Listen, God's richest blessings require sacrifice, suffering, struggles, and oftentimes they require delays and waiting. One day I may never receive Hebron, but one day I'll receive heaven. Amen. I'm waiting on it, amen, right now. I'm waiting on my change to come. I'm thinking about another one who was waiting on satisfaction from the Lord. He was in the house of God when in walked Mary and Joseph carrying little baby Jesus. To Simeon it had been revealed that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And every day he was waiting in the house of God, and in they walked. He grabbed that baby and lifted it up and said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Praise God for someone who was waiting for satisfaction. It may be that tonight you're waiting to have your prayer life satisfied. You're waiting for that answer to come. I think about Mary and Martha. They sent for Jesus that their brother was sick, and then their brother has died. And after 4 days, Jesus finally arrived. We read that in John chapter number 11. And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was bound came forth, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Amen. They were satisfied that day in their waiting of 4 days. Here's our problem. We operate on time, but time means nothing to God. What God is looking for is timing. Amen. I think about waiting faith for the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord had told the apostles to gather after he had died on the cross, was buried, and then, you know, he ascended and put the blood on the mercy seat, came back after he rose from the grave, and he was 40 days with his disciples. And we know that as he spoke with them, they just was received up out of their sight. He had told them, wait in the upper room for the promise of the Father. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4, they were waiting on the Spirit of the Lord. And when the day of Pentecost come, the Spirit of God fell in such might. Amen. 3,000 men were saved that day. Hey, it may be that this afternoon you're waiting for the Spirit of the Lord to move in your life. It may not be moving right now, but He'll move, honey. You just wait on Him and trust Him. Waiting on God means that we do what we know to do and trust God to do what we don't know to do, and He'll make it all right without our manipulating, without our scheming, without our plotting, without our adjusting anything, just trusting God. That's His divine aim. He wants us to wait that He may develop your faith and that it may demonstrate your trust in God. Amen. Number two, there are some divine admonitions in the Word of God regarding waiting or delays. Preacher, admonition, that's a big word. What does it mean? It means a warning. Let's look in the Bible at some individuals, at least two, that were not willing to wait when God said wait. They were not willing to receive God's answer of delay. I think about Abram. Will you turn in your Bible with me to the book of Genesis chapter number 12? The Bible says to Abram in verse number 2, God said, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." God promised great blessings to Abraham. But how is he going to get these great blessings and be a blessing to the world for future generations when he doesn't even have an heir or a child of his own? God said, "I'll give you a child." Abram waited and he waited and he waited. And when it didn't happen, he decided to follow the values of society and take matters into his own hands for an heir, listening to the advisement of his wife. She said, "Go take my handmaid Hagar, and you two conceive a child, and we'll call it ours." And he gets out of the will of God, not willing to wait anymore, and he has a child with Hagar by the name of Ishmael. In Genesis chapter 16 and in verse number 12, we read about Ishmael. The Bible says he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he will dwell in the presence of all his brethren. What was the result of Abraham's disobedience? What was the result of Abraham's rebellion, his inability to wait? It affected his life and future generations, and even where we are today, we're still paying the price that Abraham would not wait on God. I promise you, if you're not willing to wait on God, it will cost you, and it will cost your family, and it will cost future generations on this earth if you're not willing to wait on God. I think in 1 Samuel chapter 13, I think about a man by the name of King Saul. You remember him? He was told to wait 7 days for the man of God, Samuel, to come with instructions. The Philistine army is gathering. They're growing in number every day. And Saul waits the first day. King Saul waits the second day and the third day and the fourth. And now the pressure is mounting. Have you ever felt the pressure mounting in your life? There's a time of waiting and delay and you just can't take it anymore. And King Saul finally said, I'm either the king or I'm not. And he took matters into his own hands and decided he would enter himself into the priestly office. Look at verse 13. 1 Samuel 13, that's the number of rebellion. Verse 13, the number of rebellion. Samuel finally came. He said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord hath commanded thee. The results of Saul's inability to wait and his impatience ruined his kingdom and messed up his life. Let me give you a divine admonition. God has already told somebody, you need to wait. So quit trying to adjust it and quit trying to help God out and just wait on him and just trust him. Wait on the Lord. Do not act prematurely. When you're most eager to act, wait, or you're going to make a mistake. Thirdly, and I'll be done, there is divine assurance. In the book of Psalms, the 27th division of the Psalms, we read about David in Psalm 23. David is under extreme pressure. He is in dire trouble. He is in distress and he is in sorrow. Saul has hunted him like a beast. Ahithophel has betrayed him. Absalom, his own son, has turned away. Doeg has given away his place of hiding. And yet the Bible says in verse 13, are you there? Say amen. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14. Wait on the Lord is what David said. The Lord is the only one you can trust. David, every other friend, all his acquaintances, they had all betrayed him. They even thought often of stoning him. And it doesn't seem that David can bear this trial any longer. Not for one more minute. Not for one more night. Not for one more day. But he believed to see the goodness of the Lord. And he said, wait on the Lord. Three things come to mind. He waited on the Lord for salvation. He said, I had fainted. That means I'm ready to give up. You know what? Sometimes when you don't get what you want, you become angry. You become irritable. You have a lack of faith in the goodness of God. We live in a generation of absolutely, positively no waiting. But we must know that God's timing is perfect. The Bible says in Psalm 62, verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Psalm 62, 1. You can wait on the Lord for strength. Oh, I love this in Isaiah. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 40. Pastor Darren, too many verses of scripture. No, honey, I'll never read enough. I'll never read enough. In Psalm 40 and verse number 29, the Bible says Isaiah 40 verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. Are you weary? Are you tired? Are you impatient? Are you frustrated? We're living in a pandemic. We're living in the middle of COVID-19 going on 2
plus years now, and man, people are growing frustrated and they're getting faint. God gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You think, well, the only ones that's getting tired and the only ones that's falling out, the only ones that's wilting and fainting is the old people. It says the young people. Even the young men, they would faint. The young men would be weary. But verse 31 says, but they that what? Wait upon the Lord shall renew. That means to exchange their weakness. They shall renew their strength. In other words, they exchange their weakness for the strength of God. How do you get that? By waiting on the Lord. As you wait on him and trust him, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hey, God wants you to have salvation every day. God wants you to have strength. Hey, what about serenity? Serenity for your mind. You are looking, some I not, you are looking for relief. You're looking for relief. I need an answer. But when relief is delayed, we begin to fear. And in desperation, we start adjusting and taking matters into our own hands. Friend, I've got good news tonight. God can give you peace in troubled times. Back to the Psalms, the 37th division, Psalm 37, and in verse number 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Well, I have one more illustration. I'm done. I'm thinking about a man by the name of Daniel. Oh, let's go there to Daniel chapter. Let's just look in chapter number 9. I think about the trouble that Daniel faced. Pastor Darren, Daniel was a prophet of God. You're telling me that he faced trouble? Oh, the life and times of Daniel were marked by travail and great trouble. He faced untold ridicule and rejection and reproach as a man of God. He was taken captive into Babylon, and they completely disrespected the things of God, much like the day and age in which we live in, where there's an absolute disregard for the things of the Lord. You remember how that Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach, the four of them were taken into the company there. And the king had a dream, and the king woke up troubled, but he couldn't remember his dream. And he went to his wise men and said, tell me my dream and what it means. I'm troubled. You ever had that happen to you? And they said, well, you tell us a dream and we'll make something up. We'll tell you what it means. He said, no, that's just the whole problem. You're going to make something up. I want to know the dream and what it means. He said, there's no man alive that can do that. Remember Daniel and the three children of Israel, the four of them together, had proved themselves to be 10 times wiser than anything else that Babylon had to offer. And you remember when they took Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and is getting ready to go execute them, Daniel said, why are you killing us? He said, because the king's had a dream, and nobody knows what it means. He said, hey, let me take it to the Lord. Let me pray about it. He went to God and said, God, they're going to kill us if you don't tell us what it means. And God gave him the answer and the interpretation thereof. You talk about pressure, but he waited on God's answer. You remember the time when the Medes and the Persians had taken over? And they said, nobody that prays will be alive anymore. We'll take them and throw them in the lion's den. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Somehow, we know that because he must have prayed the first time and the second time, and he got away with it. But the third time, when he opened the window and he prayed, they arrested him. They opened the lion's den and threw him in. And guess what? The next morning, the king went down there and said, oh, Daniel, did the gods you serve preserve your, the gods you serve preserve your life? He said, oh, king, live forever. God sent his angel. Innocency was found in me, and God has tamed these lions and shut their mouths, and now I'm still alive. Hey, you talk about pressure. You talk about trials. He was waiting on God. In chapter 9, Now, here's somebody that God said, you see, he said yes to when he needed an interpretation of the prayer. He said yes when he was in the lion's den. He needed a yes. Look in chapter 9, verse 20. Whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. God told him about future events that would take place. And these things troubled Daniel greater than the lion's den, greater than a dream that needed to be told and interpreted. He is troubled. I come to chapter number 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, and the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. And in those days, Daniel was mourning 3 full weeks because he was troubled more than the lion's den or the dream that needed to be interpreted. He's praying. He's mourning. Verse 3, I ate no pleasant bread. In other words, he's fasting. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. He's praying. He's got no answer. Time of delay. There's somebody tonight, I don't know who you are. Maybe you're watching online. But you have been praying and we've been preaching on yes, 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 yes. And you're sitting there saying, what about me? What about me? God says, I have a yes for you, but it's in delay mode right now. And that's not made you happy. It's caused you great concern. I'm talking about the trouble that Daniel faced. I want you to look, second of all, the touch that Daniel felt. Verse 4. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man. Wait. It's not Gabriel. He identified Gabriel in chapter 9. He knows what Gabriel looks like. I don't know what Gabriel looks like, but Daniel does. But he said, this one is different. You know what I believe it is? A Christophany. Preach, what does that mean? That's a big word that just means it's an appearance of a pre-incarnate Christ. Daniel's praying, and he's in delay of answer. And the Lord appears. Behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Go to the New Testament and read Revelation. What John the Revelator had to say about Jesus, what he saw about Daniel, seeing the same one. Amen. Daniel, in this time of delay, verse 7, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them. So that they fled to hide themselves. Now, why do you just start quaking in fear? Because of the presence of God. Man, there have been times we've been in services, and I was afraid to move, and I was afraid not to move. And I didn't rightly know what to do. And I remember just sitting there just a quaking, amen. And they may not have seen the vision or heard any words, but the presence of the Lord was so great, they began to quake and they went and hid themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Daniel's on his face, basically completely out of it in the presence of the Lord. And look, there's a touch that Daniel felt. Verse 10, behold, a hand touched me. Oh, can I get a witness? Has he ever laid his hand on you when you had no strength, when you couldn't get up, when you couldn't face it? Woo! He laid his hand on you, amen. And he spoke to Daniel, which set me up on my knees and upon the palms of my hands. He lifted me, glory to God. I'm glad he's in the lifting business. Look. There's a truth that Daniel finds, verse 11. He said unto me, oh, Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. Amen. He says, I've lifted you up. Now, son, stand up before me and serve me and hear what I've got to say. You may say, Preacher Darren, that's just the problem. I've been wanting to hear from God and I'm needing to get an answer. Honey, have you read his word? Here's a word from God. Have you heard an old-fashioned preacher? There's a word from God. He's trying to speak to you tonight and encourage you. He says, stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself. What's that mean? That means he's been confessing his sins. While he is waiting on God, he started confessing his sins, thinking, maybe I'm not getting the answer because I ain't right with God. Have you ever examined that? Might be a little help to you. Maybe you're not getting an answer because you ain't right with God. He's chastening himself. He's doing all he knows, confessing sin, wanting to get right with the Lord. And he said, to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. That ought to help somebody tonight. You may be in the time of delay, but it's not a denial. You may be in the time of delay, but it's about timing, not about your time. You may be in the place of delay this evening, but God heard your prayer. He knows exactly what you need. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Do you see? There's a spiritual battle that's going on in his life. He realized it was delayed because of the battle that's going on around him. Can I just get a witness tonight that I don't know why your answer's delayed, but maybe God's fighting through something to give you victory. I don't think he has to fight through nothing. He stayed dead 3 days in the grave. And he fought through with victory on the first day of the week. Amen. Yes, it's about not about time. It's about timing. Amen. So I just want to say this. I'm going to stop right here. It may very well be that to somebody tonight, God has said wait, or he's getting ready to say wait to you so that you don't get ahead of him, and that you don't lag too far behind him. What he wants to do is renew your strength when you wait upon the Lord. Amen. I thought about the man of God, George Mueller. 19th century, had a great orphanage. I mean, many miracles God did as that man would lay out his prayer requests for the needs of those children. One time, they didn't have anything to eat or to drink. They didn't know what they were going to do. He prayed and prayed. They had no money. They were almost bankrupt. And you know what happened? The milk truck. God broke the milk truck down in front of the orphanage, and the milk truck guy couldn't fix it. And the delivery man came in and knocked on the door and said, listen, all this milk's going to go bad out here. Could y'all take an unexpected delivery? And all the children had fresh milk. And then the bread truck broke down, and they brought all the bread into them. God answers prayers. And it may not come when you want it. It may come in a delay. George Mueller had two friends that he prayed for over 40 years. Somebody said, why don't you give up? He said, if God wanted to convert them, he would have done it by now. You need to give up. It's been 40 years. Quit praying. Mueller said, my Bible says, Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Mueller said, it's God's duty to harvest. It's my duty not to give up. Time out. Could I just tell somebody tonight what you need to do? Don't give up. That's your duty. Stay engaged in this thing. Don't give up on God. One of the two men that Mueller prayed for was saved 1 month before the man of God died. And he died not seeing the other man converted, but he went home to glory. And at his funeral, his friend, the second one, got saved. Amen. And don't you know when that was radioed up to headquarters in glory, that his and don't you know that George Mueller had himself a Holy Ghost fit in glory? Amen. That God answers prayers even when there's delays. I'm just here to tell you tonight, wait on the Lord. Don't do anything else. Don't give up. Just wait on the Lord. You'll stand to your feet. Seth, maybe you ought to come play. There might be some might not say, Lord, I'm not ready to give up. Lord, I'm not ready to give in. Lord, forgive me. I've not been trusting. Lord, I've been jumping up and down. I've been holding my breath. Lord, help me to hang in. Help me to wait. Help me to accept the delay. Oh, God, would you help me to trust you tonight? Father, tonight, how we thank you for the goodness of God. You heard us the first time we prayed. You know our need. You know our situation. I want to thank you for all the yeses that you've given us over and over and over. Yes, 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 yes. I am spoiled absolutely rotten. And then when it's time for delay, I pout and suck my spiritual thumb. Lord, I pray tonight, God, you'd forgive us of being spiritual babies and help us, God, to wait on the Lord, because in that time of waiting, you're growing us, you're maturing us, you're developing us, you're developing our faith. We're demonstrating, Lord, our trust in you. So, Father, tonight, God, I don't want to be disobedient. I want to hear the divine admonition. And I don't want to go before you, and I don't want to wait too late and go too far behind you. Lord, I just want to wait on you. And when you say so, that's good enough for me. Now, Lord, there's need tonight, God, all over this congregation. Would you meet the need of the hour? God, I know you will. Father, would you help us? Would you strengthen us?